the ministry of song. Ministry itself begins within the heart of man. And that ministry is planted there, direct from the heart of Almighty God. God says, I didn't create junk. Everybody has a message. But not everyone will focus on that message. Not everyone, and I'm talking about Christians. When I accepted Jesus Christ, Lord and the Savior of my life, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But it's not over because I haven't left yet. So therefore, I have to live life just like you do. And what you and I need to be focusing on is, what does God want me to do in life? Oh, some would say, well, I am so brilliant, I know what I'm going to do. Brilliance does not equate to wisdom. The knowledge of the human mind, brain, does not equate to the knowledge of God. Does not God speak to us in our spirit? As a Christian, do we not say, I'm saved? And the world says, what does that mean? What are you saved from? Well, one of the greatest sinful acts within my life is myself. What did Satan tempt him? Satan didn't have to tempt him. Chose to sin. Have you noticed that in your own life? There's a lot of areas within our life where we choose to go in a direction that we know God does not want us to go. It's our choice. Satan didn't have to open his mouth. When God looked at you and me, he says, I want you to understand something very, very important. I love you so much that I will die for you. I love you so much that all the brokenness and sin within your life, I will accept on my life. I love you. I love you just like you are. Do you ever think of that? God says he loved me just like I am. And that started before time, as we understand. There's never been a time or prior to time that God did not know us. A little deep, isn't it? That's why pastors like me with shallow minds stay out of that deep water. What it focuses on is the truth of God in faith. I didn't get to be there when Jesus was put on the cross for me. A man who knew no sin. Oh, what was he guilty of? Raising the dead, causing the blind to see, the lame to walk, and multitudes upon multitudes of miracles that you and I don't even know about. Our God is a wonder-working God. And Jesus says, I've come for you. And then each of our names are on the heart of Jesus. God incarnate, the Son of the living God, knows our name. And he tells his Father daily, that's my girl, that's my boy. It has nothing to do with the filth of life when we find ourselves in that ditch of life. Jesus doesn't say, oh, you know, I'm just sick of warning you, Larry. You know what he has always said? I love you. I love you. I will share this personal part with you all now. Week and a half ago, after taking MRIs, and ultrasound within the past week, my doctors let me know that I have a mass on my larynx and on my thyroid gland. Plus some little something back here growing out of my neck. I told Randy Kidder, I said, Randy, I want you to notice something. Perhaps God has said that all the smart there is, he's already put in my mind, so he's giving me a flash drive. And he laughed. And they said, we've got to pull these together. Here it is. So three doctors getting together to work on me. And Wednesday I had to go in for a CAT scan to bring it all together. 7:30 Thursday night, call from the doctor's office. We don't understand. And I thought, I don't understand either. I mean, you know, it's life. But when we looked at the CAT scan, that's why everybody was rustling around, going back and getting my MRIs and all of this. And I was standing there at one place where they came in from the hospital to get Larry Vance's MRI. And I told the girl at the desk, I said, I am Larry Vance, because I was getting the copies with the girl next to him. She said, yeah, I know. Thursday night at 7:30, and a call was, we don't understand, Larry, but there is no mass there. We have the MRI and the ultrasound that shows it, but the CAT scan says there's nothing there. Well, I was getting real excited about it, and of course I am. But you all who know me, that I've said, you know, I sort of feel sorry for Satan. Now, that's not biblical, I don't think, but I've said that. And I thought, you know, it was one of the dumbest moves I think I have ever heard of Satan making. And that was to put a cancer or a tumor on the voice box of one of God's servants who was called to preach his word. And it was obvious he did not have permission from God. Well, I want you to think about it in your life. Our God is a wonder-working God. But I also, and as I told Randy, let me tell you all something. It doesn't matter to me how many things are growing in here or in here. I will praise God if they're there, and I'll praise God if they're not. That's where we ought to be in our life. Giving praise to God. Because, you see, death is a blessing for me and you. Oh, boy, just fell off of it. No, I didn't. Do you know the Bible says that I cannot be in the presence of God in this body? Amen. I must leave this body in order to be with Jesus in his kingdom. Why would I get so upset about going to see Jesus? Look, folks, I've looked at several of you. I've been here 21 years. A lot of you all aren't looking too good, healthy either. So it won't be long till we're there together. And I know that. But here's what Jesus said about us. I love you so much. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, you will see that whole chapter. I try to preach on this three or four times. That whole chapter as a prayer from Jesus. What we call the Lord's Prayer. I believe it's Matthew 6, starting with verse 9. I'm sure you all have straightened me out if that's not correct. Jesus didn't have to pray that prayer. He was asked, Lord, how should we pray? And he says, this is how you should pray. Well, for one thing, Jesus had no sin in his life. So why would he need to pray that? In chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, the whole chapter happens to be a prayer that Jesus prayed. And I want you to hear it. And I want you to understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, never prayed a prayer that his Father didn't answer. God always answered. But in order to get it right, to show us where it needs to begin, first of all, Jesus prayed for himself. You see where it all begins? John 17, verses 1 and 2. After Jesus had said this, after Jesus said what? Jesus is trying to get his disciples ready because Jesus is leaving. And he's trying to explain to them that he must go. And he's trying to explain to them the truth behind it. And as he does, which God love them, they're like us, he's telling them the truth about eternal life, and they're looking at each other and saying, what are you talking about? You see, yet the Holy Spirit you have in you had not been given. The church had not been established as of yet. And the Holy Spirit power that he was going to offer them had not been extended as of yet. But he knew he was on his way to his death physically. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed. Jesus never ever had to pray out loud, folks. He said it himself. He said it himself at the tomb of Lazarus, his good friend who had been dead for 4 days. Jesus didn't need to open his mouth. He did it for those who were around to understand that our Heavenly Father hears our prayers. So he's praying out loud to let them know. Now, if I don't let you know openly that I'm doing nothing out of the will of my Father, you will want to worship a man, not a Christ. They thought anyway that Jesus was going to be a human king and wipe out the Roman Empire. His kingdom was not of this world. So he prays to his Father. He looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. There's always a time. There will be a time when my body must shut down. But it's not going to happen, folks, until God says, come on home. When God says, it's over as far as the journey on earth, it's over. The older I get, the greater smile I receive, because he also says that if I leave, you leave this earth prior to the rapture, you still get to be a part of it. That's the taking up of the church. Because you're either going to be going in the rapture or coming from heaven and meeting together with God. And we're going to be given a glorified body. It's beyond the human comprehension. That's called faith. Do I believe? Do I believe the prayer of Jesus? Do I not accept, glorify your Son that your Son may glorify you? Father, you set the time. You set it for me, Father. And I want these people to know. So I said back to you, the time has come, and I will glorify you. When you glorify God the Father through the power of his Son, you will automatically, by the grace of God, be given that protection for your own family. Now, those who know me well, you know that I have a great, wonderful, and beautiful wife. I have one son, and I have one grandson. with all the love I can muster, I will do anything for them. And for a couple of them, probably too much. But I will never, ever allow my love and concern for them to overshadow my love for my Father in heaven. I can't. Because the moment that I place more emphasis on my family than I do on God, I will open the door for all hell to break loose. And it will. And the greatest protection I can give them is to stand for the truth of God. It is His truth. And the reason that Christians understand it is when a preacher or anyone else is speaking of Scripture, and when they vary off of the facts of the Spirit of God, there is a red flag that will go up in your life, Christian. There is that voice inside of you that says, "Whoa, back off. That individual is nuts." Salvation is of the Lord, not of my good deeds or yours. But because salvation is of the Lord, God says, "I will give you the strength to perform good deeds." But always let everyone know it's from God, not from you. So Jesus looks to heaven, prays for himself, and then, God love him, I wish you all could be at some of our studies when we're talking about the disciples and how human they were. Jesus prayed for his disciples. Listen to John 17, verse 9 first. "I pray for them." Now, and he's talking about the 12. "I pray for them. I am not praying for the world." Oh, that's a study in itself. "But for those you have given me, for they are yours." They're yours, Father. I'm coming to be with you. I've walked with them. I've protected them. I've made sure they had food. And when money was even needed, I would send them down to get a fish and cut it open, eat, and take the coin to pay taxes. Jesus says, "I love them. So therefore, I know you do." We're family. That's where family of God comes from. We're family. Dysfunctional a lot of times. But we're family, and it is the heart of God who has created us as a family. John 20, verse 29. Remember Thomas? Thomas comes in, we call him Doubting Thomas, and he comes in, and Thomas is, saying, "Wait a minute. I'm not going to believe until I touch and I feel and I see." That's not faith. Jesus loved Thomas. John 20, verse 29. After Thomas comes in and says that, and Thomas falls to his knees and says, "My Lord and my God." Listen to what Jesus says to him. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." Blessed, that's a comparative degree, meaning how much more blessed. We got that? How much more blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed? He's talking about the church, his church. I have not got to see Jesus, but I know Jesus. I know his power indwells me. I know his love supersedes all else. It's in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of a preacher, not in the name of a chaplain, not in the name of a teacher, not in how much we know, but who we know. I know Jesus. I've been washed in the blood of a lamb. His blood for me. And he said, "I guarantee you, I'll see you later, Larry." Woo! I like that. But it'll be on his terms. Not any other power. I want you to listen to this prayer at the end of the Gospel of John 17. This is a prayer that Jesus prayed for you and me. This prayer is for the church age that he's ushering in. When Jesus died on that cross, when he paid it all, he was buried and in 3 days resurrected. He ushered in the beginning of the end of the age. That's the beginning of the end. He ushered it in, and when he ushered it in, he said, I will be with you forever. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, for now I can live in you. Remember Lazarus' sister, Martha and Mary. Lord, had you been here, but now he's been dead 4 days. What can you do? For the stink of death is upon him. Every one of us. Listen to me. When we were born, we began the dying process. I don't know why you say that, preacher, that we are living and we're dying in the process. Okay. Don't take a shower or a bath for 3 days. Ask a family member whether or not you surely stinketh. That's the dying of the body. That's the truth about these spaceships for Earth, these vehicles called a body. But listen, 17:20, my prayer is not for them alone, meaning his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. You heard of the Bible? Loaded with the messages. First century church was a time period when it was all beginning to be put in place. Jesus said, Father, my time has come. God does not care about our watches, and he does not care about our timetable. He really doesn't. For God is the author of life. God is the one who loves us just like we are. And no matter what somebody else tells you, and they'll come and say, come, go see here. It's obvious that we're living in the end time. It's obvious. Well, folks, not only is it obvious, the Lord let us know that the church age was the final age before his return. And he ushered in the beginning of the end. And he will usher in the end. Because it belongs to him. He's that powerful? Oh, I belong to him and you do too, Christian. So what does that put us? That puts us in a place Jesus says that he was going to go and prepare for us. And he told his disciples and telling us also, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and I will take you where I am so you can be. Why would I fear man and the foolishness of Satan? Satan does more tricking than anything. Do you know Jesus never tricked anyone? Gospel of John 17:24-26. Father, listen to his prayer. This is for us directly. Have I stressed that enough? Did you get it? Here we are. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. And they, that's us, know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be, permission Now can be, may be, with permission, may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Woo, what a prayer. What a prayer. Did you see or hear any selfishness in that prayer? Did you notice it was about his children? We are the offspring of Jesus Christ. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and we become an offspring of Christ. There you read about that in Genesis with Satan's claim. God said, I have a purpose for you. I'm going to speak and you will be born. And you will be born for a purpose. You will be born to follow through on what I have started preaching. Whosoever will be with me, Jesus says. And then he says, all you need do is come to me, and I will give you rest. Why do we allow such hell of the world to bring us down emotionally, physically, and spiritually? When folks, you will never be able to do enough good to make God love you anymore. And you can never do anything so bad that'll make him love you any less. God says, I love you. And I have come to bring you peace. 22 veterans a day commit suicide. There's really more than that. They could not find peace within them. But they did not call on Jesus. Many that you and I know Jesus well. But death came. Look at it now from the eyes of Jesus. I love you so much. That emptiness within sight of you is gone. No, God does not encourage anyone to take their life. God came to give life. But have you not witnessed the evil within this world and the evil that attacks you? Do we not understand that all around us is nothing but pure hell and trickery? I proclaim to you on the authority of God's word, his love lasts throughout eternity. For he loves me before I was ever conceived. Explain it, preacher. I cannot explain to you my salvation experience. How in the world am I going to explain anything any deeper? I don't need to explain it. Jesus has already explained it, and he will continue. And you know, it don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we praise your name, asking your blessing as each of us search through our heart. Father, help us to dedicate who we are to you and your service. Thank you, Father, for our beautiful families. Thank you, Father, that it is you who protects them. We praise your name, Father, for the love that you give us, for the joy of our salvation, and Father, for that peace that surpasses all understanding. Touch hearts now. Let the hard hearts be softened, and those who do not know finally hear that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us now as we commit to you in Jesus' name. Amen.